This episode, we're diving into the fiery portal that is the Aries new moon and solar eclipse. It is burning and brimming with magic and potential, and so we'll dive in together.
Welcome, beautiful soul, to the Weaving the Wild podcast. In this space, we are reclaiming and remembering the wildish wisdom and knowledge that lies deep within our bones and reconnecting to those parts of ourselves that are both ancient and familiar. We talk about it all, awakening our collective wildness and dropping back into our bodies, honoring our cyclical rhythms, connecting to our roots, embracing our intuitive nature, and living embodied within the feminine. I'm Rachel Hodgins, and I'm honored to be walking this path beside you. Let's dive in.
The Aries new moon will take place on Thursday, April 20 at 2:12 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. There is a lot of nuance to this moon and the energy that it's circulating. And I want you to be able to really breathe into a larger picture of what is going on at this time, because we have the eclipse itself, yes, but there's also other details that are feeding into this event, either directly or more subtly, and it all tells the story of what is shifting, of what is taking place within us and around us, and what we're being invited into. So I'm going to lay the land a little bit. I won't be going into all the aspects and planetary movements that are feeding into this moon, but you can definitely look them up if you're interested in going deeper. I actually include the major planetary alignments and shifts each month inside Cosmic Weavings membership. So if you're interested in that, you can check that out there. But let's set the scene a little bit. We arrive this moon at the very end of Aries season. The energy of Aries has been building for weeks. 1 month ago, we had that bold and fiery initiation of the Aries new moon right at the start of Aries season, which also kicked off a whole new astrological year. And since then, the energy has been growing and activating sparks of initiation. It's been quite a wild month since then, with all sorts of planetary shifts, some major movements going down, but all the while there's been this theme of self, knowing yourself, honoring yourself, and following the impulse, trusting the urge of your desires and self. Aries has been teaching us, if not demanding us, to claim ourselves and to walk boldly and unapologetically along our individual soul path, to choose ourself. And then we had our beautiful Libra full moon teaching us how to take that sense of self and stand firm within it while engaging with the rest of the world, right? Being in relationship and partnership while honoring yourself and their self. I know that Libra moon felt like a whopper, like it really did a number for so many of us, judging from all of your messages, but it's all perfectly in order. It's all revealing and helping and supporting you. You can go back and listen still to the Libra full moon episode to dive deeper into all of that energy, because truly it's all still so relevant. And then we come to another Aries new moon this week, which is unusual in itself, not unheard of, but two new moons in the one sign in a row, it has its own magic, right? And to understand it, we need that bigger picture to be able to see the story that it weaves. A new moon marks the start, the beginning. It's an initiation of something new, right? Aries, being the first sign of the zodiac, our hot and fiery warrior, is also the initiator. Aries wants to do, to begin, to take the step and to be in action, right? Having these two new moons in Aries brings a potent ignition. It's like you know, it's like we had our first new moon sparking a light and fanning the embers of your inner fire. And from there, you've had all of Aries season, you know, to work with what was sparked into being within you. These last few weeks have been a process of both clearing and creating, feeling the tension and working through what needs to be released in order to follow your desire and your soul path, but also taking a healthy dose of Aries drive and passion and just doing, leaning in, unquestioning, you know, taking the leap and the risk, following the fire. Whatever Aries has been activating within you, whatever he's had you eyeing off, you've been in it, my love. You've been in the process. Everything is coming up in order for you to claim it. It's asking you to claim it. If you really want it, are you willing to clear the necessary path for it? If you really want it, are you willing to act as though it is already yours by birthright? This is basically what has been spitting and sparking and like maybe at times erupting within you and your environment recently. It's all been building, ignited under that last new moon, and now perhaps you might start to feel it taking shape in some way, in something that makes a bit more sense. You know, maybe there's a little bit more clarity even. You might find that overall, the kinks and blocks you've been working through over the last few weeks have cleared enough for you to start taking more literal action upon the seeds that you've planted last moon. What I'm trying to say is those little sparks of desire that you felt niggling and calling, however loud or faintly, they're about to become unquestionable. They've been building and rising and asking you to prepare for what's coming, to prepare to truly claim them in yourself, for yourself, and on behalf of yourself and all that you are here to do and be on this earth. Your desires are not just frivolous wishes or wanton excessiveness, beautiful heart. They are your soul speaking to you, through you. Your desires are the signposts along your path. They are how your soul directs you along the way. The depth of your desire is sacred. This is your holy fire that burns and lights up your way. We're going to talk more about desires soon, actually, because there's a real magic to what's going down this moon that really supports in not just kind of feeling and following our desire, but also calling it in and bringing it into our material lives and like tangible reality. But we'll put a pin in that for now, and we'll come back to it. So we've been through a full Aries season now. The sun has burned away in the sign of the warrior for weeks. We've had the corresponding Libra full moon. We've had all manner of planetary shifts and alignments feeding into this particular stage of our journey, collectively and individually, all adding to the work of healing and releasing and activating clearer paths forward. And now we arrive at the second new moon in Aries, which is also an eclipse, a solar eclipse. And this brings a whole other level and consciousness to this moon. So let's just really hold a moment now for the significance of eclipse energy. And you know, we'll break it down a little bit just in case this is the first time that you're hearing about it and you're wondering, like, what does this even mean? Or what are you talking about? So eclipses never come alone. They always come in pairs, at least, which means this coming solar eclipse will be accompanied by a lunar eclipse in 2 weeks' time on the full moon. That's why we call it eclipse season. It's not just one event or one moon. This energy spans over a period of weeks. And, you know, like normal new and full moons, these eclipses will speak to one another. Their energy is connected and interwoven. You might even say they answer one another. Now, this particular moon will be a solar eclipse. A solar eclipse only occurs on a new moon. And it happens when the moon falls directly between the Earth and the Sun. So the moon effectively blocks the Sun's light. The moon sits in the same sign as the Sun, in this case Aries, and they're in the same place in the sky, or degree, as we would call it in astrology. So here on Earth, the moon blocks some or all of the Sun. In this case, it'll just be a partial eclipse. A solar eclipse is the kind of eclipse that you don't want to look up at with a naked eye. You want those special sexy glasses, you know, or you can also look it up online and watch it while it's being filmed if you really want to see it. It's pretty cool. On the other hand, just for the record, for a bit of context here, a lunar eclipse only falls on a full moon, right? So solar eclipse, new moon, lunar eclipse, full moon. This one you can look up at and watch. A lunar eclipse takes place when the Earth falls directly between the Sun and the Moon. So in this instance, the Moon falls dark because the Earth is effectively blocking the light of the Sun that would normally reflect upon it, you know, which brings us the face of that beautiful full moon. But this is a solar eclipse. The Moon is eclipsing the Sun from our point of view here on Earth. That's basically what's going on a literal level. Eclipses are all down to the moon's path and orbit around the Earth. And they come about when that orbit creates a near perfect alignment between Sun, Moon, and Earth. That's the scientific astronomical goings on, right? On an energetic level, eclipses are potent portals of change and disruption and redirection. They come to shake things up and expedite the timeline on an individual and collective level. A solar eclipse brings much the same energy as a normal new moon, only it's just amplified by 1,000. No biggie. But there's a mysterious, like elusive, kind of chaotic force about an eclipse as the solar and lunar energies become amplified. Normal rhythms become inversed as light is flipped to dark and then back again. Eclipses are often called fated events as they tend to kind of bring about major shifts, or they instigate them at least, that we just couldn't have manufactured on our own, or at least not as quickly or succinctly. It's almost as though the universe can click its fingers and bring something into being or out of being. I actually kind of like to think of eclipse season as the universe's way of stepping in and taking a more overt role in our lives. Obviously, we're always in a process of co-creating with the universe, but in this instance, it's kind of like the universe steps into the driver's seat for a little bit because we need it. We need it sometimes. Eclipses in that way are course correctors and path expanders. They stir up the circumstances needed in order to bring you back onto your aligned path once more if you have strayed or perhaps got a bit lost. Or if you're already kind of actively walking within that alignment, eclipses have a way of being able to shoot you 10 steps ahead where it might have taken you, you know, a year to get somewhere. An opportunity just falls in your lap in a moment. Sometimes this change and shift can feel turbulent or challenging, probably more so with a lunar eclipse. A solar eclipse, you know, having new moon energy tends to feel much more positive in energy. But either way, eclipses definitely have a tendency to stir up things that you just couldn't have planned for or even anticipated. Coincidences, synchronicities, those uncanny encounters or experiences that happen before your eyes and then just set you on a completely different path. It might be a conversation you start up in the line for coffee. It might be getting every green light, or maybe it's every red light so that you miss your job interview that, you know, you were never meant to have. Maybe it's a random friend messaging you out of the blue with an offer or an invitation, and that marks the shift drastically in maybe something to do with your work, or maybe it introduces you to a new interest or passion or hobby. Maybe you meet the one in a completely unexpected way. Being a solar eclipse, this energy is really focused on new beginnings, new seeds, new paths opening up and moving you forward. But let me just really bring this home when I say the universe is taking the driver's seat right now. This really is the key to not just understanding, but being able to move through eclipse season and eclipse energy. Normally, I don't really recommend trying to push or force or sort of like lean into any strong action under an eclipse. You can, but because the eclipse is working its magic, because the portal is open and the universe is actively weaving within your life, I often find it's better to kind of focus on being open and receptive to what is happening, what is weaving and calling you to lean toward, rather than trying to run your own race, you know, alongside the universe. Do you know what I mean? Like it's like the new and full moon under normal circumstances. They're powerful times to focus on your own power and your own ability to act and release, you know, carve out intentions and then clear what stops us on this kind of rhythmic, cyclical basis. That's evolution and growth, right? It's beautiful. But when the veil of the eclipse season descends and we enter within this liminal space, it becomes less about the vision that our own conscious mind is able to hold and more about the even bigger picture. These are threads that we might not be able to see on our own accord. It's the path that only your soul, the path that the universe can see for you. Which is why my biggest piece of advice under any eclipse is to focus less on the outward manifestation and action and planning and intention setting and simply be open and receptive. Listen, receive, pay attention to what is being delivered to you, activated within you, what is landing at your fingertips, what is unignorable. So I'm not saying don't take action, not necessarily, although the dark moon is generally not the time for action anyway, just for the record. It's the time to receive an intentional desire, to let it take root. Energetically speaking, it's once that seed has planted firmly within us, and then we see the growing light of the crescent new moon as it continues to grow toward full, that the energy then asks us to act upon it, right? That's the time of action. But back to the point, I'm not saying to be passive, but maybe to loosen your grip on the reins a little bit. See what can happen when you stop steering and let the universe guide your vessel. All you have to do then is respond yes or no. When it guides you to some crazy synchronistic encounter, or whenever you open that text or email, whenever you walk out your front door, like whatever might transpire, you have the option and the opportunity to say yes or no to the moment. Will you choose to close off and shut down an opportunity or potential? Or will you say yes and walk toward the path that has just opened and been offered to you? Only you'll know the answer. Follow the breadcrumbs though. Follow the yeses. Trust, trust, trust. And how will you know when it's right to say yes? Desire. Desire is a key word woven within all of this moon energy. When we combine the solar eclipse energy with that of Aries, we are left with a powerhouse moon that is infused with everything it's got to drive your momentum forward into the direction of your purpose and your desires. There is simply no playing small under such energy. To quote a little snippet from something I shared inside the membership this month, if you shrink now, you'll only be shriveled up by the intensity of the heat. Will you let the fire consume you, or will you consume it? Will you become the fire? Will you, beautiful one, become the fire? Will you let yourself burn with the desire that flames deep in your belly? Will you feel what you hunger for and be wrapped up enough in that desire to lurch forth and claim it? Will you let all the stories, all the fears, all the lingering attachments burn away in the fire of this Aries eclipse and instead become the being, the vision, become the heat, merge with its intensity, feel your body become alive with the heat of your soul, your passion, your purpose? Will you be so willing to let loose to your desire that it becomes at once a letting go and a strong holding firm to it? Sometimes it's in losing yourself to the intensity of your own fire that you see clearer than you've ever seen in your life. Your passion and desire burn away anything but truth, so that you can walk directly and unblinking toward it. Your intuition is going to be your biggest asset right now. Whatever is stirring, whatever you're feeling called toward, it may not make sense. It probably won't. You know, it may not be clear what the end goal is, but you just feel a pull to take a certain step in some seemingly random direction. Or it may be that you do hold a vision, that you aren't really sure what steps are needed to get you from here to there, or they don't fully make sense in whatever order they're coming through. It's okay. You know, it may not make sense right now because it's opening a new path. A way is being forged, a new thread actively being woven. And because of that, it's asking you toward the unknown. You'll need to land fully in your power. You'll need to keep breathing into that deep inner knowing of yours. Be willing, be bold enough to leap. Be willing to back yourself over anything and anyone else. This new moon eclipse has the power to bring you to life like you've never known. Aries, the initiator, the inner flame, your core, your drive, your passion, ignition, and purpose, being completely split open and erupting within itself, woven and animated. This energy is amplified tenfold by the solar eclipse. Be open. Be receptive. Why push yourself when it's all already happening? Can you feel that? Can't you see it? Let your hands ease off the reins and let yourself become enveloped in what passion beholds you. You might have noticed like the language I'm using. It's kind of sensual, like the heat, the intensity of passion and fire and desire. Believe me, I'm noticing it too in a lot of ways. You know, the words that come through when I'm writing these episodes aren't really planned or thought out. I basically just channel whatever feels alive and then trust in the way that it wants to be communicated. And so I'm finding it really interesting the way this energy is coming through in such like a strong sort of erotic way almost, you know. But I'm not surprised by it, to be honest. Like, you can literally think of this energy, this life force energy, as sex. Like, think of that strong desire and pleasure of life force energy building and growing and building and growing within you until it takes you and you become overcome by that aliveness. That built up energy spurs forth, it breaks through and erupts out of you. Your energy is propelled forward, right? There's something to that here in seeing your path and your purpose come manifest. It is the desire that leads you, that builds within you until it cannot be denied, until it builds up so much that it bursts forth, and that spurs you forth into active creation. You act and claim it so that you have it. That is Aries energy indeed. I mean, it's interesting, you know, because Aries is ruled by Mars, our planet, not just of drive and will, but also passion. But Aries is also quite forthright, you know, it sees its desire and immediately moves upon it. I'm getting this kind of dual image though under this moon. And it's interesting, it requires us to accept not one or the other, but both together to be able to see how these two images are actually one and the same. And the image, like the message that I'm kind of feeling in all of this energy is being all at once, like moving toward and claiming your desire, the desire within you, and being totally and fully surrendered to it. To let the desire take you, to let it fill your entire being, your body, you know, your cells, your bones, rippling through you so much so that you become it. You emanate nothing but who you are when you have this desire, when you claim this part of you. And by doing so, you do claim it. You call it in as much as it calls you. It's not either or, it's both and. It's the will to claim it, and it's the melting into it. It's very masculine and feminine, you know, dynamics there, right? And I mentioned earlier that I would circle back to how this moon is supported by energies that help not only to kind of feel into our desire, but also to bring it forth into our reality in a really tangible way. And I think this is the perfect time to bring Taurus into the mix, especially reflecting upon that last point of like the being within the desire and the actively claiming and acting upon the desire. I think that claiming and receiving energy is the interweaving of Aries and Taurus. So we know that this new moon and eclipse is taking place right at the end of Aries season, right? But I mean literally right at the end, as in the final hours of Aries season. So we have our new moon exact at 2:12 p.m. This is Australian Eastern Standard Time. So we have the new moon at 2:12. We have the eclipse at its maximum height around 2:28 p.m. And then it finishes just after 3 p.m. However, the moon actually shifts from Aries into the sign of Taurus at about 2:30 p.m. That is mid-eclipse. And then the sun follows suit a few hours later, just after 6 p.m. So even though the exact moment of the new moon and when we would classify the eclipse as exact, meaning the eclipse is at its maximum before it starts to recede again, both of those points take place within the sign of Aries, but they're so literally on the cusp. That means all the energy right now is infused with the might and fire of Aries, but it's also brimming with the onset of Taurus energy as well. And we cannot ignore that. The eclipse itself literally finishes in the sign of Taurus. So what does that mean? Well, Taurus is our sturdy, grounded, fertile, and secure energy. As an earth sign, she operates in the material realm. So how we do and how we engage with our tangible environment. And ruled by Venus, Taurus is connected to all things beauty and abundance. She is grounded, sensual. She openly receives and is deeply rooted and connected to the infinite flow of the earth and of life itself, which is another way to say abundance, right? Taurus delights in the material world and physical pleasure. Her realm is this divine earth, and she teaches us how to receive fully and truly from everything that is available to us, to know the world intimately through our five senses, through our physical form and body. She teaches us the gift of sensuality, right? To move through the world and truly connect to life through the delight of the senses. In this way, she teaches us how to ground our desire from, you know, some whirling, swirling fire of passionate want into the pleasure of receiving it. So it moves from a want to a have, as we find it or create it within the material reality of our lives. Taurus also seeks security and stability. She shows us how to grow sturdy roots, which is not just welcome after the fire and the rumbling heat of Aries. It's entirely deliberate and necessary. Taurus energy is the next step, the answer to that initial spark. She holds the invitation to take all the fire, all those sparks that ignited into life, and then to bring them down to earth, to give them fertile soil in which to take root, to create solid foundations upon which to build them. She is the considered and intentional action and nourishment that manifests our wants into form. She comes to bring the fire of Aries season down to earth. If we don't give it somewhere to anchor, like just like a metal rod attracts lightning, right? Those sparks or flames will disappear. They'll burn themselves out with nothing sustaining them. This is all part of Taurus's energy and wisdom, bringing that passion and purpose into material form, seeing that it becomes manifest in our material lives. This is vastly different energy to Aries. It is slow and considered and practical, where Aries is fast and impulsive and at times entirely impractical and you know, rash. It doesn't really care to think, it just wants to do. Both of these energies are necessary, and we can gain a lot by channeling each of them in their own divine given moment, but understand how deeply Taurus energy serves the flow, how she comes and feeds into whatever is stirring for you in this moon, which has likely been stirring for weeks now. Feel into what she offers and is inviting you into next. Because she very much brings the theme of grounding something into tangible form. And I might add, being open to receiving it then. I won't go too much further into Taurus energy. I just wanted to sprinkle a little bit in here because, as we said, this new moon and eclipse literally happens the same day as we enter Taurus season. Once the sun shifts into Taurus, you know, a few hours after all of this moon goes down, then we'll be in Taurus season. So I wanted the chance to kind of just touch on her energy and like briefly what that looks like so that you have that knowledge going in rather than just waiting until we've literally come to almost the end of Taurus season before I release the Taurus new moon episode. Because like this Aries new moon, the Taurus new moon is right at the end of the season as well. If you do want to learn more about Taurus season and her energy and just the energy that's brewing in general over these coming weeks, deaths jump inside the Cosmic Weavings membership, because that's where you'll be able to go deeper into what's actually stirring and Taurus energy, and you'll be able to dive into all of that more in real time rather than just hearing much of it in hindsight at the end of Taurus season. The membership is kind of like your map and guide to the energies of each month. Okay, back to this eclipse though. Let's look at some ways to work with all of this wild energy under the Aries new moon and eclipse and really feel in how to navigate it all. So number one is the reminder that the eclipse is the ritual. You can set intentions if you want, but I would invite you to feel into an overall vision and then truly let go of all details. Normally, new moons are great to kind of direct your focus to set the tone, so to speak, of what sort of action you're going to be taking moving forward. But an eclipse works differently. Like I said, they weave their own kind of magic. So I would sooner invite you to really surrender to what is weaving and unfolding for you as it weaves and unfolds for you. I've said it before on other eclipse episodes, but you know, people often want to make a song and dance about eclipses because their energy, you know, it is such a big deal. But truly, the eclipse is the ritual. It's not about burning fears or putting out crystals, you know, which I do not recommend, by the way. Do not put your crystals out under an eclipse. This is highly volatile energy. We don't want that shit being carried back into our homes, much less amplified and you know, sending out frequencies into our spaces. Back to the point though, we don't really need to do anything during an eclipse because the eclipse is doing whatever needs to be done regardless, right? If you are going to set intentions this moon though, I recommend you do so from a very clear and focused energy. Eclipses can feel quite shaky. They really do have a way of making us feel quite wobbly, even at the best of times. They're highly emotional. Again, maybe lunar eclipses a little more so than solar eclipses. But even outside of the emotional aspect, this is kind of just shaky ground. It's a luminal space and it leaves us feeling, you know, a bit unclear. Things can feel a bit up in the air because you're not really in the driver's seat, so to speak. I say all of this because if you are feeling overwhelmed in any way or confused or just lacking clarity, it's going to be really important to ground and center yourself before you go asking the universe for things, right? They're called intentions for a reason. It's entirely down to the energy that you hold around what you are saying as you call it in. If you're setting intentions based on fear or lack or any kind of frazzled energy, guess what you're likely to manifest, you know? Let's, you know, take the time to come back to your inner center, to harmony and to balance before you set any intentions. This would be a great time to remember to lean on everything that you've just learned under the Libra full moon, right? Know your tools, know what brings you back to center, know what you need to cultivate inner balance, and then feel into what broader visions fueled by your desire direct you toward your purpose. And then let the universe hear your readiness and openness to that vision and desire. And then let it start weaving. Number two is move your body. Ring yourself alive with heat. And honestly, there's not much more to say to this other than that. Like, let your life force move and activate you. Come alive. Get your blood flowing. Bring heat into your body. Your desire, even though, you know, it may be your soul speaking and your intuition talking, it's felt in your body. Desire is a bodily sensation. So turn your body on so you can hear it. Go for a big run. Dance, dance, dance and dance some more, you know, lift weights, like whatever your body needs to come alive, to move any stagnancy and then get it going. And then let it ground. Put yourself in nature. Give yourself the space to drop back into your center. Again, remember your tools from last moon. Get the juices flowing and then open yourself to see what speaks through you. Let yourself receive the desire. Number three is go gently. So the flip side to that last point is you know, you might be finding yourself feeling quite drained and tired now that we're in the eclipse portal, even if you're sleeping well. I would invite you at the moment to like lessen what's on your plate. Give yourself room to move within your days. Nap if you can and if you feel the need. This is big energy. Like, don't underestimate it. Your animal body feels it. You're still attuned to it, even after hundreds of years that told us to look away and you know, not care for the movement of the moon and the stars. Our ancestors did, and they understood the significance of the effect of this energy around them and within them. You are no less connected to the moon than they are. You are no less connected to the moon than the ocean's tides and to the light that it beams. And this energy impacts you in very real ways. So give yourself lots of care and grace. If you are feeling more tired or drained, don't just brush it off as if there's no reason. There is a reason. It's an eclipse. You know, allow that to be the case. You might also notice as well, like your head might feel a bit foggy or slow. Your dreams might be more active or lucid. Like, this is again a very liminal space. So know your tools that, you know, to hold yourself gently through it. And on that note too, I should mention that Mercury is also going retrograde the day after this eclipse. It will be retrograding in the sign of Taurus. So effectively, we'll have this Aries new moon and eclipse. And then within the space of a few hours, both the sun and the moon will have shifted, joining Mercury in the sign of Taurus. And then within 24 hours of that, basically, Mercury will go retrograde. So that will also be feeding into kind of the fogginess, I suppose you could say. Mercury will be retrograde until the start of May. So just be aware of that too. Number four is to join the upcoming Desires Masterclass. This is a little bit of a plug and also like just a loving invitation. I will be holding an incredibly juicy and potent class this month inside Cosmic Weavings membership that is entirely woven by the energy of Aries, I have to say. The class is called Claim Your Fire and Holy Desire. And it's being held live on the day of the new moon, and then it will be available as a replay inside the membership library. This class is both a soul activation with a sprinkling of teaching as well. We are going to see you lit all the way up. We're going to learn how to find your fire and your purpose if you're feeling a bit uninspired or lost. We're going to burn through some of those key blocks that are smothering your fire. And these have probably been feeling super present recently because Aries has been highlighting the places that are restraining or inhibiting you. It's likely caused frustration or tension or maybe even anger or aggression over recent weeks. So we're going to clear these stories and really flip them on their head. The power has always been in your hands. This class is just holding a match so that you can see, so that you can claim your fire and holy desire in life. And the reason I'm sharing it here amongst the ways to work with this moon is, like, honestly, this class exists because of Aries and Aries season. It will be a powerful aspect to kind of weave into your own new moon and eclipse embodiment. Let it incite and ignite you in a way that's really deeply aligned with everything that is moving and shifting and being set alight under this moon. You can join me live, please do, or you can access the replay when you sign up and get inside the Cosmic Weavings membership. The link for it all will be in the show notes as always. And finally, number five is just do not underestimate your sacred yes. Practice following your yes at the moment. Start small, start super small. Like, just ask yourself, do I want coffee or tea? Do I want to walk this way or do I want to take the other route to work? Do I want to go to this cafe or the other cafe? Or do I want to sit in the park? You know, do I want to work on this thing or that thing? Do I feel an urge right now to write and share about XYZ? Do that, you know? Follow the yeses, follow the desire, however small it may seem. Look for it and then follow it. Seek it out and then lean into it. Say yes to it because the path of your desire is ever unfolding, right? It's cumulative. One thing leads to the next thing. This is what I mean by being open and receptive this new moon. Where does your intuition lead you? What does the universe lay at your feet or in your inbox? Who does it land right before you in order to strike up a conversation, you know? And where does that lead you? Just open yourself up to saying yes. Get in the practice of finding where your yes lies and then following it, you know, whether it's the little or the big nudges within you. This is really what I mean when I spoke about holding firm and acting on your desire and surrendering to it all at once. You feel it. You choose to say yes to it and then you do as it asks you. You surrender into just being within it. I really hope I'm articulating this in a way that, you know, makes sense. It's so hard to put into words something that's like so visceral and also energetic all at once. Okay, my love, I'm going to leave it there, I think. I do just want to quickly take this moment to invite you into Cosmic Weavings. I know I've already mentioned it a couple of times while I've been talking, but if you don't know, Cosmic Weavings is my online monthly membership and it is packed packed. I mean packed with delicious content each month to help you not just understand the energies that are weaving within you and around you, but also how to engage with them, how to navigate them and embody them. You get a super beautiful and richly packed guide each month that holds everything from the major planetary alignments and the lunar phases and signs. Like, for example, after this new moon, we'll have the last quarter moon in Leo. So what does that mean? What does that energy invite and incite? You get deeper explorations of each new and full moon, plus journal prompts and dedicated rituals for them. Each month is also a guided audio practice and meditation. You also get free bonus guides for the Wheel of the Year, so you're fully equipped to dive into the earthly rhythms and seasons, as well as all of the beautiful cosmic weavings of the sun and moon and planets. And as I mentioned before, I've just introduced a brand new addition to the membership. Each month, you'll also get access to monthly classes to ignite your heart, expand your vision, and just awaken your soul. So this month in April, as we said, we'll be diving deeper into desire and your holy fire. Next month, let me give you a little sneak peek. Next month, the call will be digging deeper into a relationship and what abundance really is and how to connect into true flow. Very Taurian, I have to say. And then in the following months, we're going to be learning how to align with the planetary days of the week, the ruling planetary days of the week, for a more feminine flow and take on structure. So these classes, they're not really additional deep dives into the zodiac energies. We've already kind of got plenty of that inside of the membership and this podcast, you know. So instead, these classes are kind of taking that energy and that knowledge and then putting it into context. It's like saying, you know, this podcast tells you what the energy is, and now this is how we're going to put it to use and create magic in your life. The classes are all live, which I'm very excited about, and then they'll be available as a growing video library for all Cosmic Weaving members. Come along, jump inside the membership, get all the juicy content, get the prompts and the ritual for this moon, this eclipse, enjoy the guided meditation that's waiting there for you. You'll also get access to the two bonus guides that we'll be dropping very soon for Samhain and Beltane, which are ancient, beautiful, potent days within the Earth's seasonal wheel. And you'll be able to access the Desires class, either live or in the library, or both. You know, you can do whatever you like. You can watch it as many times as you like. You can cancel anytime. You know, just see how you like it for a month and then see if you want to stick around with us. The link, as always, as I said, is in the show notes. I would love to have you there inside. I hope you have an amazing new moon and eclipse, beautiful soul. If you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to screenshot and share it to help others find it too. Tag me at the Rachel Hodgins so that I can see it and reshare it. Nothing makes me happier than seeing who you are, you know, who is out there listening in. I invite you to breathe deeply now. Go boldly. Open and trust. Let the universe work its magic. You got this. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Weaving the Wild podcast. I'm walking my path here on Dja Dja Wurrung country, and I acknowledge the Dja Dja Wurrung elders past and present.